Well, good morning. Am I on? Can you hear me? You can hear me. Yeah. I know in that video they talked about, you know, I'm preaching instead of Phil. But you guys get us mixed up all the time. So I know we keep arguing about who's better looking, but I've worn Phil's suits before. He's borrowed my shirts before. So I just can't fit into his pants. They're too big. So I've gone to visit some of you guys in the hospital, and you've said, "Oh, I just love your preaching every Sunday. I just can't stop listening to you." Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I don't correct or anything like that. So I know when you got two handsome guys, at least they don't call us Dave, right? I'm kidding. All right. Okay. This is the beginning of the wrap-up of the book of Ruth. Phil's going to finish it next week. If you haven't read through Ruth in one sitting, you should. It only takes 10 or 15 minutes. It's not a big book. But if you haven't read it, all four chapters, just sit down and do it. It brings the whole picture together. Before we get into it, though, I want you to think of the person that in your mind is the furthest from the kingdom. Don't say it out loud who that person is. But we all have somebody that we think it's gonna take a miracle for that person to come to Jesus. So just take a second. There's somebody in your family, at work, school, church, that you think that person, if they're gonna ever become a real follower of Jesus Christ, it's gonna take a miracle. You got somebody? I know there are a lot of those. As a matter of fact, you might even be that person. You might be that person that just, you know, I come because my wife makes me come, or I come because it's a good place to bring my kids, but I'm never gonna go with that Jesus stuff. Well, when we talk about Ruth, the book of Ruth, now, this is the title. She be us, he be him. It's not pronoun confusion, but there are some things about Ruth that just could be every one of us and probably are us or is us or am us. I don't know which goes in there. But there are some characteristics of Ruth's life that if anybody were going to be reached with the gospel, if anybody were going to be invited to be part of the family of God, she ain't it. She's as far as anybody could possibly be from part of God's family. And then Boaz, I know you guys have probably thought this, but he reminds me of somebody. And when you go through there, you go, man, that sounds like somebody I know. I wonder who that is. Well, we'll find out who that is if you haven't figured it out already. So let's look at Ruth and her circumstances. She's got ethnic circumstances. She's got social circumstances. She's got religious circumstances. She, in anybody's book, at that time, would have been a lost cause. If you were going to send a missionary to reach Ruth, you would have said, we can spend our money better going someplace else. She was further from the gospel than anybody should have been. She comes from as dysfunctional of a family history that you can get. Ruth's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was Lot. Lot got drunk and had sex with his daughters. And his oldest daughter had a son and called him Moab. And Moab means literally of my father or by my father. So drunk Lot has sex with his daughter and produces Moab, and the Moabite people is who Ruth is part of. So you can trace her lineage all the way back, and it's got as dysfunctional of a start, the family tree, as you can imagine. It, as bad as it could be. Anybody got a skeleton in your closet all the way back? And say, man, it has been bad. That's where Ruth comes from. Her racial background was excluded. God said, do not allow them to participate in the assembly of the Lord. Of all the people that aren't allowed to come to church here, it's Ruth's people. Now, why? Well, when Israel left Egypt, over on the far left, Israel spent 400 years in captivity in Egypt. And when they were released or escaped, they followed that red line and they wandered around in the desert forever and ever. For 40 years, they've been wandering around. And then they want to go up to Jericho, where they're going to cross the river and go into the promised land. But if you see there, Moab, that's their territory. And they wanted to go right up along the Dead Sea there and go right up to Jericho. And they asked Moab, the Moabites, can we go through here? We won't eat anything we're not supposed to eat. We'll stay on the main highway. We won't cut down trees. We won't do anything. We won't bother the towns. We'll just go on the main road. And Moab said no. Now, do you remember? They're cousins. So they're not letting their cousin take a shortcut. They're saying, we don't want to have anything to do with you. As a matter of fact, you got to go around our property. That's how nice they were. Moab also, they're cursed. God tells Moses, don't let them come to church here. But he says, you know those people that were your slave owners in Egypt? They can come to church here. So Moab was worth less honor and privilege than the slave owners that had abused Israel for 400 years. Because they were not hospitable to their relatives, to their cousins. And God said, that's not right. So they're cursed. So the people that Ruth comes from, not only did they have a bad background, a bad history, a bad lineage, they also were discriminated against. Also, during the time of the judges, which is when Ruth is actually taking place, the Moabites were abusive to the Israelites. They kept coming into the land and beating people up and abusing and pressuring and insulting and just all around mistreating them. There's actually the story in the book of Judges where the king of Moab is unsuspecting, and Ehud, if you want a fun story, Ehud is one of the judges. He's a left-handed judge, and so he keeps his sword on his right side, and they don't frisk the right side, they frisk the left side. Oh, he doesn't have a sword on the left side. He goes in and he stabs King Eglon. Now, when you hear the name Eglon, that sounds to me like the king of the goblins in Lord of the Rings. You know, that really big, fat guy? Because it says when he stuck the sword in his belly, the fat enclosed over it. That's how fat Eglon was. And then Ehud sneaks out, and the guards outside are knocking on the door. Hey, what's going on? And say, oh, he must be going to the bathroom or something. Well, he was in there bleeding to death. But it's one of the kings, one of the stories in the book of Judges that's happening at this time. Moab, the Moabites, were an abusive, oppressive people. And they were considered less worthy than the former slave owners that had abused the Israelites for 400 years. That's Ruth's background. She also had a demonic religious background. The Moabites at another time wanted to conquer the Israelites. And so they dug up this prophet Balaam, and they said, we're going to pay you, Balaam, to curse the Israelites. Please curse the Israelites. But God told Balaam, you can't curse the Israelites. You curse the Israelites, you're dead meat, buddy. And so three times they tried to get him to curse the Israelites, and he wouldn't do it.